You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. It's the Purity Show, in which all the words are chosen very carefully. The artists taking part are as near human as it's possible to be without getting offensive, and they're guaranteed untouched by a human hand.
Ow!
Oh, yes, it's something to shout about. Have you ever wondered what an advertising agency does? Well, the employees of Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, one of Britain's leading advertising firms, frequently ask themselves the same question. But take television commercials. They're those things imploring you to buy somebody's soap because otherwise the firm would go bankrupt, usually with music. They often start in the office of an account executive such as Michael Lightfoot. The client arrives to discuss his new product.
It's a cold cure, Mr. Lightfoot. Presto, the miracle cold cure.
Splendid, does it work?
You don't think we try to foist something worthless on the public, do you?
Good heavens, no. But if you ever should, you know where to come.
You take one of our miracle cold cure tablets every 3 hours, and we guarantee that the cold will completely disappear within 48 days.
48 days? Where does the miracle come in?
We're hoping to get people to buy them. But it's wonderful. I want you to organise a nationwide sales campaign.
I'll organise a conference immediately.
Three weeks later, the conference takes place. Michael calls in Adrian Beals, the man who writes the slogans, and Maggie Tufnell, who's in charge of TV commercials. A brisk interchange of ideas takes place.
What did you say the product was, Elgo?
Presto Cold Cure, Adrian. Apparently it works like a charm on guinea pigs.
Oh, I know a marvellous cold cure. An old country recipe. You'll get some rose petals, crush them, boil them, add a pint of whiskey, throw the petals away and drink the juice.
Does that get rid of your curl?
Yes, but there's just one snag. You're liable to break out in green fly.
Morning all, I've come up to take notes.
You're very late, Mavis.
Well, I dropped in to have a chat with my friend Stella on the switchboard. She's having trouble with her boyfriend.
Oh, not again.
So I gave her my sympathy in exchange for details.
Can we please get back to the conference?
Perhaps we could advertise it as curing everything except bacon.
Well, do you know, my gran suffers dreadfully from bacon. She's all right with ham, but give her a piece of bacon and she goes right off. She just doesn't agree with it. We have to watch every bite she eats.
Mavis, we're not here to discuss what goes on inside your grandmother.
I should think not in mixed company.
The conference that afternoon ended in a momentous decision being taken. They decided to hold another conference the following day. But first, Michael calls into his own office Janet, his personal secretary, who's already busy on the phone.
Darling, are you still there? Well, anyway, I went to a party at Michael's flat. Well, it was gorgeous. Absolute rave. Corks popping by the dozen. Screaming and yelling and hysterical laughter. Who's there? Oh, just me and Michael. Which Michael? The one from the office, of course. You know me. I only go out with friends and strangers.
Morning, Janet.
Must ring off now. Bye. Morning, Michael.
Janet, who are you talking to?
Drusilla, the girl I share a flat with. She's just keeping in touch. She hasn't been home for a fortnight.
Weren't you worried?
Well, I didn't know until she rang up. Anything exciting on today, darling?
Well, we've got another Presto conference.
Really? It's about time you buttoned that up.
The same thing goes for that blouse you're wearing. In that thing, you'll soon be a customer for Presto Cold Cures.
You know Kinky Musgrove.
Your beatnik friend?
Yes. Well, she had a cold last week, so I told her to paint her tonsils. No. She wanted to paint one red and the other green.
Oh, well, there's nothing like being contemporary.
Say, Janet, what's that report on my desk?
It's from our market research department.
Let's see. Oh, they sent out interviewers to ask 500 people where they caught cold. 499 said, in their nose, and the other bloke didn't know.
And what else have those bright boys found out?
Well, listen to this. As a result of this statistical analysis, we are able to state that more people catch cold in winter than the summer. But this has nothing to do with temperature, as Eskimos don't catch cold at all. Perhaps that's because they stay in bed 6 months of the year.
Well, dig them.
The nights are 6 months long.
Wow.
Can you imagine your boyfriend calling for you in January and bringing you home in July?
Yes, I can. And your mother standing on the door of the igloo saying, "Young lady, where have you been since 5:30 March?
Yes, and you say, "Sorry, Mum, we went out on an icicle made for two, but it broke down."
You know, I saw that film about Eskimos last week, and guess what?
Surprise me.
Well, when a strange man arrives at an igloo, the Eskimo says, "May I present my wife?" And he really does.
Eskimos don't even kiss. They just rub noses and eat candles.
Not both at the same time. I say, Michael. Michael, I wonder what it's like to rub noses. Well, let's try. Go on.
What do you think I am, a dog?
Oh, come on. Just a little rub-a-dub-dub. Oh, go on. Oh, be a devil.
All right.
Bad, is it?
Janet! Michael, what on earth are you playing?
Crazy. Michael just wanted to see what it was like to be an Eskimo.
Now, Michael, I've got some good news about the cold cure project. Adrian's written a wonderful script for the commercial.
Oh, that's great. When do we have a look-see?
Well, I suggest we all go to the conference room and get the girls to read it for us. Then we can get the overall picture.
Oh, fine.
Now, this commercial shows Presto Cold Cure tablets being used by actresses all over the world. The first scene is in the wings of the Covent Garden Opera House. We see two Japanese geisha girls having a quick smoke between numbers. Now, when you're ready, girls.
Well, who starts first? Oh, it's me.
Oh, it's very good so far.
A tissue, a tissue.
Is it all in Japanese?
Go on, Mavis.
A tissue, a tissue, goodness gracious me.
All right, don't make a song about it.
I think that I am sickening for a cold or a something.
But Maria, no, no, you can't be. You're singing the role of Carmen in the opera of the same name tomorrow. It's your big chance.
I know, and I've got the master singers in the afternoon as a matinee. What is to be done? I haven't the strength to sing a single aria.
Aria, darling. Oh. Well, what you need is a presto, Maria. They're just packed with winter sunshine, and I just happen to have a packet in my kimono.
Right, then we fade.
Not a minute too soon, if you ask me.
Then we come up on the same scene, only this time the girls are dressed in Spanish costumes. Go on, Janet.
Maria, what a reception! 25 encores! I've never heard Carmen sung better or louder. You've sung it like you've never sung it before.
Well, I ain't never sung it before.
Mavis, keep to the script.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got carried away. Oh, it was nothing. I could do it all again and gladly. Thanks to Presto, I will never go on the stage anymore without my slow mix. Eh?
Slow mix? That's a camera direction, maybe.
Oh, I thought it was a bit larky. Yes, I owe it to these Presto cold tablets. Produces packet and dissolves.
I don't blame her.
Well, Adrian, the idea's all right. It's the words that are so dreadful.
Well, I'm amazed you don't like it, old boy. I thought it was my best work to date.
It is, but it's still dreadful.
Well, dash it, old boy. It wasn't fair, the way the girls kept locking around. And your silly little remarks didn't help much either.
Please, I know this may seem crazy, but do you know what I'd like to do?
Get stuck in a lift with Adam Fife.
Mavis, I'd like to film the commercial as we did it just now.
Huh? But people would laugh at it.
Exactly, don't you see? It'd be different. At the moment, all commercials are too serious. Madam, will you please tell me which pile of laundry was washed in our soap flakes? It's like an inquisition.
Well, that advert's silly. I've been all round the shops trying to buy a packet of Brand X. Not one of them's got it.
Maggie, do you really think we should make a comedy commercial?
Yes, something to make people laugh. It'd attract attention.
No, I really must object. My script had a certain literary merit. I won't have it ruined.
Oh, turn it up. You're a writer of TV commercials. You're not Shakespeare. There's just no comparison.
Oh, isn't there? I suppose you don't realize that Shakespeare wrote Henry IV in two parts just to make room for the commercial break.
There wasn't any commercial in those days, old boy. It was all BBC.
Look, stop squabbling. I'm responsible for the film, and I'm going to shoot it from the comedy angle.
Yes, but Maggie...
There's no use, Adrian. I've made up my mind. This'll be the greatest thing on television since Interference.
So really, Miss Tuffnell, I can't thank you enough. Our sales have been sensational.
Well, I'm glad to know the great British public are now presto conscious, Mr. Gosling.
Oh, they are, no doubt. But we must keep it up. So I want you to arrange for those commercials of yours to be shown for another 6 weeks.
Peak viewing time?
But of course. Those commercials of yours are first class. They're better than the programmes. Did you watch last night?
No, I tore myself away.
Oh, pity. Because your commercial was put on after a cowboy film. It was so good that one of the Indians stayed behind to watch.
When I'm in happy mood, I can't stop them coming out.
You'd be a fool to try.
Well, Mr. Gosling, I must say it's very nice for you to come round and thank me personally.
Well, there is another reason for my visit. I've got a little surprise for you. It's a letter I received this morning from the AAC.
The Artistic Advertising Council?
Yes, it's from the chairman. He's a friend of mine. Go on, read it.
Dear Stinky...
He knows me very well.
Just to let you know that the committee has decided to award the trophy for the most original advertisement of the year to the Presto Cold Cure commercial. The award will, of course, go to the producer of the film, who will be officially notified in due... The producer? Does that mean me?
Of course, my dear. Congratulations.
But I can't believe it. It's the greatest thing that can happen. It's wonderful.
Well, I better be on my way now. I'll see you next week at the Westlake Hotel. That's where you receive the award.
Well, it's a big silver cup, isn't it?
That's right. You hold it for a year. Must be very tiring on the arms. Bye-bye.
Michael, I just can't get over it. Fancy Maggie winning that award thing. I mean, I know she loves her work.
Well, that's the answer. Put everything you've got into doing something you like.
Well, I do, but I don't get cups for it.
Then what are those little things under your eyes?
Funny.
Still, I'm looking forward to... Oh, this beastly cold. It's come on again.
Oh, but those Presto tablets, I thought they were so marvellous for cold.
They are. Mine's getting stronger every minute.
Oh. Poor darling.
I came in to tell you I've received official notification of the award. We've all been invited to the reception. Michael, stop sneezing and listen.
I can't.
Oh, that's all we need. Soon it'll be all round the office. If you've got a cold, it's a racing certainty that Janet's got one too.
What a spiteful thing to say. Oh, just because Michael and I enjoy a certain intellectual kinship. There's no reason to imply that our friendship is anything more than platonic.
Oh, you poor darling, you did catch it from me, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. This time of the year, my resistance is low.
Why pick on this time of the year?
I just came in to tell you that I've got a cold in the nose. And I'd better not come in case you catch it.
We've got it.
Oh, dear. Oh, there's tickling in my throat. It's like the time I nearly swallowed my mascara brush.
Mavis, I hope you didn't get your cold from Michael.
No, I got mine from my dad. Well, you see, it's his string vest. It's not functioning. My granny saw it, thought it was full of holes, and darned it up.
I just popped into bed.
You're too late. Somebody just said it.
Well, I just want to tell you, I'm not very well. I don't think I can do any more work today.
What are you on?
Well, I was in the middle of writing a piece about Presto tablets curing all colds. But I'm too ill with a cold to finish.
That's because you're thinking about it.
The award! Oh, Maggie, whatever happens, you mustn't catch a cold. Can you imagine it? Standing there on the platform saying, "Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and I was inspired to do my utmost when I made this TV commercial because I sincerely believe in the Presto cold cure."
Don't worry, I never catch cold.
Just the same, we can't take any chances. You mustn't catch a cold before the award. We must isolate you. Go on, Maggie, leave the office at once.
Oh, all right, you're all being very silly. I'm never ill.
Well, you've probably got a woman doctor.
I say, old boy, are you serious about this?
Yes, it's most important that we all keep away from Maggie.
I'll force myself.
Yes, what is it?
This pastel, I've got your vitamin pills. A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Bring them in, I'll have them in alphabetical order.
But you're in solitary isolation. I'm not allowed to enter your office.
Then how do you propose to give me the pills?
Well, I'm just trying to decide. I'll either roll them under the door or put them in the keyhole and blow.
Michael, it's time for you to talk to Maggie about the new series of commercials.
Right. Now, I must make absolutely certain that I'm absolutely germ-free. Are you ready, Adrian?
Yes.
Disinfectant.
Disinfected.
Rubber gloves.
Rubber gloves.
Smog mask.
Smog mask.
Gargle.
Gargle.
Throat spray.
Throat spray.
Blast it.
Blast it. Well, Michael, that's the lot. Run along and see Maggie.
Go and see Maggie? Are you crazy? I'm going to speak to her on the phone.
Oh, get along.
Oh, how long do we have to go on with these silly precautions?
Till the end of the week. Oh, I'll be glad when it's over. It's interfering with everything.
Well, I wouldn't say that, old boy. The lipstick on your smog mask is most noticeable. Have you and Janet been at it again?
Yes, but it's not much fun kissing when you're wearing smog masks. It's like having a bath with your clothes on.
Never mind, only four more days.
Pity. I'm getting quite used to my mask. Look, I've got a little hole in the middle to put my pipe through.
Oh, I feel wonderful today.
Cold all gone?
Yes.
Mine too.
Isn't it a glorious feeling?
You know, this morning, first time for weeks, I woke up starving hungry. I went to the larder and opened all the cans.
Oh, you had a good breakfast.
Fab. Four brown ales, two light ales, and a bowl of baked beans.
I bet those beans are happy.
By Jove, I feel great this morning. Not a sign of that cold.
Yeah, you look better.
I feel it. I was up at 6:30 playing with little Catherine. Oh, she's a scream. She said, Daddy, why can't we put the goldfish in the spin dryer? Then they can stand still while the water goes round.
Isn't it clever how they work things out?
Hello?
Michael?
Oh, hello, Maggie. All set for tonight?
No, you see, I...
Oh, no, no. You can't have a cold. You must be well for tonight.
I will be, but I'm spending the morning in bed.
Right, well, I'll send Janet over to look after you.
What?
Well, you're all alone, and someone has to look after you. Get your lunch, smooth your fevered brow, nurse you back to health.
But not Janet. Burke and Hare, yes, but not Janet.
But she adores cooking, and she's just taken a course in first aid.
With her cooking, she'd need to. No, I'll be all right.
Maggie, you shouldn't be out of bed.
How else was I to open the door? I've got very short arms.
Darling, you look terrible.
Thanks.
Now just you get right back into bed and I'll straighten out the room.
You'll have to knock down a wall to do that. It's meant to be that shape.
Darling, you've got the window open.
Fresh air is healthy.
Only when it's new. Now, look, I'll just tuck in your bedclothes. I shall tuck in your bedclothes and square off the blankets. Oh, Maggie, where are you?
I'm on the floor.
Oh, darling, I'm terribly sorry.
When you turn the mattress, Janet, you take the patient out of the bed first.
Now, if you're quite comfortable, I'll start getting lunch.
Lunch? It's 10:30 at the boarding.
Oh, it's early. Oh, well, you won't mind having a late lunch, will you? About 3.
Now, where's the kitchen?
It's through there,
but... Now, don't you worry about a thing. You might go through that parcel from the chemist, though, and see if there's anything you fancy.
Yes, thanks. Let's see. Little Hampton's Lug Pacific. A bottle of shampoo. Toine, the wonder cure for athlete's foot. 4 packets of safety pins. A frostbite remedy. An elastic bandage. A packet of frozen fish fingers. Who does she think I am, Nanook of the North?
Maggie, how do you light your stove?
You don't light it, it's electric.
Well, you might have told me I used a whole box of matches. Oh, I think I've set something off.
It's the front door.
Don't you worry, I'll go.
Front door.
It's through there. Did you know you're wearing a duster?
Well, honestly, some people do have cupboards in the oddest places.
Oh, Michael, thank goodness you've come. I don't like the look of her at all.
Charming.
Go in, Michael, darling. I'm busy in the kitchen.
Oh, there you are, Maggie. Oh, my goodness, you do look dreadful. And no wonder you've got the window shut.
Here we go.
What you need is fresh air, plenty of fresh air. Get the air circulating.
Where's that frostbite remedy? Michael, I must get better for tonight.
I've got the most wonderful cold cure. It was taught me by our French maid.
Amongst other things.
You take used tea leaves, mix them with salt, and put them in an old sock.
I don't wear socks.
Then you bake the whole thing in an oven and apply it as a poultice.
Where?
Well, anywhere where there's a swelling.
I haven't got a swelling. I may have after lunch, but not at the moment.
It wasn't me this time.
I'll go.
Is the poor soul conscious?
Not for long.
Come in, Mavis. Can I take your earmuffs?
That's not earmuffs, that's my hair. I brought you some grapes, Miss Tufnell. I'm sorry they're a bit dead-looking, but we've had them on the piano for months. Really, they're for show, not for eating.
Oh, Mavis, how kind of you. Black ones, too.
Yeah, well, just to be on the safe side. Oh, you don't want the window open. I'll say that again. You know, you don't want the window open. You'll catch your death.
That sash could be worn out before long.
The doctor said we must never have the window open when he came to see my gran. She gets terrible attacks of vertigo, you know.
Really, quite different from Adrian. He gets terrible attacks of horizontal. Flat out for days sometimes.
I say, there's a very tasty smell coming from the kitchen. Oh, I could just do with a nice bowl of hot soup.
Coffee's ready.
Oh, hello, Mavis. I'd better get an extra cup.
Oh, don't bother, dear. I only need one. Shall I go? I've got a free hand.
Amazing what they give away with cornflakes nowadays.
Oh, hello, Mr. Beals. You're just in time.
Good Lord, is she sinking?
No, for coffee. Janet's just done it.
Oh. Hello, Maggie Elgo. Oh, my goodness, you look ghastly.
It's purely psychosomatic. I feel ghastly.
Ooh. Well, I'm not surprised with the fug you've got in here. Let me open the...
Adrian, if you touch those windows, I shall scream. I shall have a relapse.
Here you are, dear Maggie. Oh, Adrian, be a doll and give this bowl to Maggie, will you? I must get a large napkin or something.
Oh, right, then. Here you are, Maggie.
What is it?
Soup. Mavis, would you get a spoon?
Okie doke.
Soup, are you sure?
Mmm, smells delicious. Do you the power of good, Maggie.
Here's your spoon, Miss Tufnell.
Thanks, Mavis. Well, here goes.
Maggie! Don't drink it!
The voice of conscience.
You're supposed to inhale it.
Inhale soup? But how would you chew it?
Well, it
Friar's balsam. You breathe in the fumes, it clears the passages.
This stuff would clear a whole building.
What? Oh, I must get rid of this cold by tonight.
Now, don't worry, Maggie.
How's the time going?
1 hour to zero.
That's just about how I feel. I don't think I should be able to bake it,
and I've got my dress ready and everything.
Don't worry, Cinderella. You shall go to the ball. Let's take your temperature again.
Mavis, where's the thermometer?
In my handbag.
Well, shove it in Maggie's mouth. The thermometer, I mean.
Open wide, Miss Tufnell.
You've got it in the wrong way round, Mary.
Oh, pardon me. Now, look, don't talk, Miss Tufnell, otherwise you'll bite the end off and swallow all the tinsel.
I still say we should have given her that mustard plaster.
Well, it just wouldn't thicken. I boiled it for 3 hours.
Well, that's enough to ruin the flavour of anything.
Now, let me take your thermometer. It must be done by now.
So am I, and I resent you all regarding this as a barbecue party with me as the main dish.
What's the temperature, Mavis?
20.
20? It can't be.
Oh, that's not bad. Only one to go for pontoon.
Are you sure it's 20?
Yes.
It must be the second time round. Look at the small print on the thermometer. Is it Fahrenheit or centigrade?
Neither. It's a pack pending.
Here, let me take a look. Good grief! It's 104.
What? Michael, I insist on you sending for the doctor.
I think we'd better send for the fire brigade as well.
It's this way, doctor.
Well, well, well. And where's our impatient then? Oh-ho, you do look in a bad way. Fancy sending out one man only on a job like this. Not it. Let me feel your pulse.
Doctor, I'm the patient, not Janet.
Oh. Well, feel it anyway, just for kicks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Professional etiquette, excuse me. Well, now, neither of you look up to much. I don't like your colour, young lady.
Oh, don't you? I should probably go blonde next week anyway. I always do if there's an hour in the month.
Doctor, you can examine Janet later. The person I'm worried about is me.
Well, let's have a look at you then, shall we? Put out your tongue.
Oh.
Good heavens above! Have you been using a striped toothpaste? No, wait. Where's your pulse? And I'll take your temperature as well.
You know, I expect you'll give her polycillin. My gran had that for her feet.
Oh, I think the doctor's finished.
Well, now, Miss Tufnell, this is a most unusual case.
Tell me the worst.
This treatment they've been giving you, it's raised the temperature of the blood.
We thought it would get rid of her cold.
No doubt, but it's given her sunstroke.
Sunstroke?
The most interesting case. First time I ever seen sunstroke in England in the middle of the winter. Or in the summer, come to that. However, a couple of days in bed...
But this is my big day. You see, the ceremony is in half an hour.
Cancel the wedding. You're in no fixed state.
I'll take it. Hello? Yes? Oh, just a moo. I say, it's that nice Mr. Gosling. He says, where's Miss Tufnell, and isn't she coming to the ceremony?
Mavis, give me that phone. Hello, Sir Lightfoot here. I'm afraid Miss Tufnell is, she's indisposed, but I'll receive the award in her place. Yes, goodbye.
What about the speech? How will you explain my absence?
Well, we advertised their tablets as containing winter sunshine.
So?
I'll tell them you took so many you got sunstroke. How about this for a slogan? Presto tablets take some beating. With one in your tum, you've got central heating.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Mr. Gosling and other unlikely characters were filled in by Warren Mitchell. The script is written in complete isolation by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who'd appreciate gifts of food and money. The show was produced without an anesthetic by Eric Miller. Next week, we'll be giving away a free do-it-yourself booklet, which is a must for every household with people in it. It's called First Steps in Brain Surgery.